Within Book 5, Chapter 1, Part 3, we now turn to Article 3, which is on religious instruction. And the exact title of Article 3 is, "Of the Expense of the Institutions for the Instruction of People of All Ages." And when Smith refers to the instruction of people of all ages, what he really means there is religion. This part of the Wealth of Nations was neglected for a long time, but it's striking because Smith was the first writer to really produce a systematic economics of religion, and in this regard, the economics profession as a whole began to catch up to Smith really only in the 1980s. Here are some core propositions which Smith applies to religion. First, clergy are basically self-interested. Second, market competition, that is competition among denominations, among religions, among preachers, that constrains churches. And finally, there are burdens of monopoly and government intervention into religion, and we can think about those burdens in pretty much the same way as we would for other sectors of the economy. What's striking about Smith's treatment of religion is simply how much he secularizes it, how much he puts it in an economic framework, and how much he simply refuses to treat it as anything special. And just as Smith was skeptical of the professor and the teacher, he also seems to be fairly skeptical of the clergy. Here's a quotation which makes the parallel between teachers and clergy directly, and I quote, "The teachers of religion, in the same manner as other teachers, may either depend altogether for their subsistence upon the voluntary contributions of their hearers, or they may derive it from some other fund to which the law of their country may entitle them. Their exertion, their zeal and industry are likely to be much greater in the former situation than the latter. That is, clergy will work harder when they depend upon competition and market forces to make a living." In this section, Smith stresses numerous times just how much monopolies and state-protected monopolies, including religious monopolies, tend to become sluggish. There's a lengthy passage where Smith quotes David Hume at length, and in this quotation, Hume argues it may be a good thing that monopolies make churches sluggish, because otherwise churches tend to foist superstition, folly, and delusion upon populations. I don't read Smith as quite being willing to outright endorse this view, but nonetheless, Smith is full of praise for Hume before the passage starts, and at the very least, it seems to be an idea which Smith wanted to introduce into the minds of his audience. Smith, however, does seem to have some optimism about what laissez-faire in religion and religious competition would look like. And he outlines the properties of that equilibrium, and it would involve numerous small sects. Smith argues that no one of those sects would have very much influence. It would be a fairly peaceful state of affairs. And Smith says this is much better. For Smith, the worst possible outcome is when you have two or three competing sects which have a lot of religious or political power, and then it's unstable because so much is at stake in matters of religion, and Smith seems to think that this laissez-faire outcome would be at the very least satisfactory. He also mentions the state of Pennsylvania as having a kind of religious laissez-faire, and he refers to the, quote, "philosophical good temper and moderation" which prevails there. There's quite an interesting discussion in this section where Smith suggests it's a basic or general principle behind virtually all societies that there will be two competing doctrines, one of which Smith calls strict or austere, and the other which he calls liberal or loose, and that in virtually all societies there's this competition, and the names of the sects or the names of the doctrines may differ, but there's some ongoing struggle throughout human history between these two kinds of ideas and feelings. Smith seems to side with the liberal and loose view, and he has a discussion that if austerity grows too strong as a doctrine, well, what should a government do? And he offers two recommendations. First, a government could encourage science and philosophy through the medium of education, and also, under these circumstances, Smith can imagine that a government should encourage public amusements and gaieties to basically loosen up the doctrines of religious austerity. You can think of this as another case where Smith did not in every manner always endorse the outcome of laissez-faire. The latter part of this section is a lengthy discussion of some historical details of numerous churches, including Catholic and Presbyterian. From our point of view, you can think of this as Smith simply showing that these churches can in many regards be analyzed as similar to private corporations. There's really quite a bit in this path-breaking chapter. For further reading, we can recommend at least two articles. One is by Gary Anderson, listed here. The other is by my former colleague, Lawrence Iannacone, listed here. They are both available through JSTOR. If you'd like a lot more historical background on religion and religious competition in the Scotland of Smith's time, there's a very useful book by Richard Scher, and that's called Church and University in Enlightenment Scotland.